I look out over this congregation, and my heart is thrilled and blessed and filled with joy because most everybody here I've known for a long, long, long time, and I have a great deal of confidence in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your love for the Redeemer, and your devotion and dedication to the gospel of His grace. And my message today is directed to you who love the Savior. And you do. I know we don't love Him like we want to love Him. And by no means do we love Him like we ought to love Him. But most everybody here can say, I do love Christ. I believe Him, don't you? He's my Lord and my Savior. And we have a good hope by His grace in Christ Jesus. Our Sunday school lesson this morning we had a verse which declared, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. I rejoice and am happy with that foundation, and I'm not seeking any other of you. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I love that name, believe that name, trust that name, and want to have a greater revelation of that name. And I know of God are we in Christ Jesus. We didn't put ourselves in Christ. Of God are we in Christ, and He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Is that not true? And can't all of us say, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is also at the right hand of God, who even makes intercession for us. But we're still human. You are and I am. And we live in the flesh. And we're going to continue to live in this flesh till God is pleased to take us home. And He'll do that when He is pleased to do it, according to His purpose and His good providence and His design. We're still human. We're still in the flesh, and we're still not yet perfected. We're not yet perfected. And we're aware of our imperfections. I think we grow more aware of our imperfections as we get older. Rather than getting more holier than thou, I believe as God's children grow older, they are more sympathetic with the imperfections of others because they're so aware of their own. And they're more aware of their weaknesses and their infirmities. And one of these imperfections I'm going to speak on today, and that is fear. Fear. There are a lot of emotions. You can name them, but one is fear. And I want to show you from the Word of God that certain fears are not sinful. Fear in itself is not sinful. There's a sense in which anger and hatred is not sinful. David said, did he not say so, I hate them that hate thee? God is angry with the wicked. And God's servant David was angry with the wicked too and slew them. So there's a sense in which certain fears are not sinful, but really fear serves a right good purpose. It depends on whom we fear. It depends on what we fear. It depends on why we fear. Fear in itself is not sinful, but rather it serves a very good purpose, depending upon whom, what, and why we fear. Now, there's some fear that's sinful. I'll give you four major fears that are sinful, very sinful. Number one, it's sinful for a believer, and I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to people who know God. It's sinful for a believer to fear to make a bold confession of his Lord for any reason. I mean for any reason. Our Lord said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. But believers are not ashamed of the Lord. And it's sinful when we fear because of people or because of position or because of pride or whatever to confess Christ, starting with believers' baptism. And then by word and deed before men. You see, when Peter sat by that fire, he knew the Lord. It's foolish for us to even think that Peter didn't know the Lord Jesus. He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ said, on this rock I'll build my church. Did he not? And so many times in the Gospels, Peter boldly and clearly proclaimed his confidence and faith in Christ. But there were some circumstances. Doesn't make it right. But Peter was afraid. And he sat by that fire, and they said, you're one of the disciples. He said, not me. Well, you're one of his disciples. He said, I don't know the man. Now, that was sin, wasn't it? And let's don't be too hard on the Apostle Peter, because there may have been many times in your own life when perhaps the circumstances weren't the same and the audience wasn't quite as large, and the consequences not nearly so severe when we have not witnessed a good confession, that we have resorted to silence. Maybe we didn't say, I know not the man, but by our silence we indicated we knew not the man. Isn't that right? There's plenty of times, and you know what I'm talking about, when by our silence or by our failure to defend and to speak forth, and to let it be known in no uncertain terms that I do know the man, and I want to be identified with him. So I don't, that kind of fear is sinful. It's sinful for a believer to fear to make a bold confession of his Lord. Secondly, it is most sinful for a preacher of the gospel, or a teacher, or you elders, or deacons, or whomever, to fear for any reason to preach the gospel of God's sovereign grace and glory. That's sinful. It doesn't matter where I'm preaching. If I please men, I'm not the servant of Christ. If I alter my message because someone's in the congregation, that's a sin. I've sinned against my God. He gives me his message. Whether it be, and let me say this, whether it be sovereignty or responsibility, I wouldn't compromise God's sovereignty because an Arminian's present, and I wouldn't compromise God's man's responsibility because a Calvinist is present either. It works both ways. What God teaches us and what God has taught us, we proclaim. And we don't apologize for it. And it's sinful for a preacher of the gospel. And Paul rebuked Peter severely. You remember when Peter was, and Peter was a believer. You say, these things, the believers really have trouble with these things? Of course they do. They're human beings. And Peter was sitting there at the table in the book of Galatians with all those Gentiles. Uncircumcised Gentiles and who'd professed faith in Christ. And he was enjoying the liberty of the fellowship, and these fellows came down from Jerusalem. These strict, strong, solemn, serious, stewards of the grace of God, and he just kind of got up and slipped over here with the Jews, you know. And Paul said, I withstood him to the face. And I said, that's wrong. You stand for the truth, no matter who's present, either way. And then thirdly, it's sinful. And I know it is, and yet I'm guilty of this. I suppose you are. I don't know. But it's sinful for us to fear circumstances and not trust God for our daily needs. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to live? He said, do not the heathen seek these things? Is this not the cry of the heathen who have no heavenly Father? Why, he said, consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet Solomon in all his glory was never dressed up like one of those lilies. Consider the birds of the air. They don't have barns and buildings and savings account, but your Father feeds them. Are you not better than the lilies and the sparrows? Your Father knows you have need of these things. So don't be full of anxious fear and anxious care, but trust Him. And it's a sin. It's a sin not to trust God and be content with what we have. And avoid covetousness, which is idolatry. And then it's sinful for us to fear death. I heard a preacher last night on television. I tried not to listen to him very long, but I got him on the way from one game to the other. It's sinful not to be honest, too. And so he said that he wasn't afraid of dying. Of course, he said, I don't want to die. And he destroyed it all right there. I don't mind going home, but I don't want to. Then you mind. If you don't want to, then you mind very much. And it's sinful for us to fear death. He that believeth on me, Christ said, shall never die. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I don't care how you spell it, it's sinful for us to fear death. Paul said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You know, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And we don't want to get caught in that snare, do we? So let's avoid these fears here. Fearful to make a bold confession. God will give you the strength. Fearful to preach the truth and to stand for the truth. God will give you the strength. My grace is sufficient. Fearful because of circumstances. They keep piling up and the mountain gets higher, but he's bigger than the mountain. And fearful to leave this earth. So if I said, well, who's going to take care of my wife or my husband and so forth? You're not taking care of him now. He is. That's right. He's taking care of him. He's their father. And I imagine he could do a better job than I could. Don't you? All right, but there is a sanctified fear. Yes, a sanctified fear. There's a sanctified fear before God, which we really should commend and encourage. And I encourage it this morning. And if you have this sanctified fear, rejoice in the Lord. Because turn to Psalm 34 and let me read you something. Psalm 34, verse 7. You have it? Psalm 34, 7. Now listen. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. That what? Fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints. There's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, listen to me. Listen to me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. That's what I'm going to teach this morning, the fear of the Lord. Now, as I said a while ago, I gave a fourfold sinful fear. Now I'm going to give a fourfold sanctified fear. And here's the first one. There's the fear of eternal condemnation. That's right. Fear of the wrath of God. I fear the wrath of God. The scripture wherein Paul says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I believe that. And was it not the fear of the wrath of God that brought us at the beginning to seek God's mercy? Wasn't it the fear of the wrath of God that brought us to seek His mercy? I know the thief on the cross was hanging there, and in his agony, and in his pain, he experienced another sensation, fear. And he looked over at the other thief, and he said, "Don't you fear God? Don't you fear God? Seeing we're in the same condemnation and we indeed justly, we're getting what we deserve. Don't you fear?" "I fear," that's what he's saying. "Oh Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." David said this. David said, "Oh Lord, don't bring me into judgment with thee. Oh Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand?" Our Lord said in Matthew 10:28, "Don't fear them that kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. I'll tell you whom you shall fear." He's talking to his disciples. He said, "I'll tell you whom you shall fear. Fear him who's able to cast you body and soul into hell." It's a wise man that fears God and fears the wrath of God. A man who does not tremble at the thought of judgment and wrath and eternal condemnation knows very little about the wrath of God against sin. I believe that. If someone here this morning says, "Well, I don't fear God, I love God," you don't even know God. To know God is not only to love Him, but to fear Him. And you take a concordance sometime, and as I did yesterday morning or Friday morning, and run a reference on the word fear, and you'll find that over in the Old Testament, worship was known as the fear of the Lord. And the people who walked with God were called men who feared God. That's right, fear of the Lord. Now let me tell you, and be perfectly honest with you, it's not sinful to have some understanding and trembling and awe when we think of the wrath of God. I can tell you this, if there were no hell, a man said one time, "I don't believe in hell." And the Christian said, "Well, if there is no hell, then you're glad and I am too. But if there is a hell, you're not so glad." I'll tell you, if there were no hell, and death ended this whole existence, I would still believe God created the heavens and the earth. I would still believe that God Almighty is omnipotent and almighty and worthy of my praise. Now, the fact that there is a hell makes me more grateful that I believe that God created the heavens and the earth and that He is worthy of my praise. See what I'm saying? If there were no hell, I still believe God is God and worthy of worship. But if there is a hell, which I believe there is, that makes me more grateful that I know God is God. Secondly, if there were no hell and death is the end of all, I'd still believe His word and His will and His way is the best life. It's the best life. I hear people say, well, I tell you, if I believe salvation was by grace, I'd just do what I want to do. Really, honestly, I'm doing what I want to do. Aren't you? If there is no hell, if there were no hell, I still say that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost is the best way to live. It's the happy way. Isn't it? But the fact there is a hell makes me more dedicated to it. And if there were no hell and death is the end, I'd still cherish this family of God here. This is the sweetest and most enjoyable family in the world. And I would rejoice if there is no hell. I'd still want to be your friend and have this fellowship, wouldn't you? I don't see people of this world having any kind of fellowship, do you? I don't see the people who know not God having any kind of joy. They don't have any joy or peace. But there's peace and joy and rest in the family of God if there is no hell. But the fact that there is a hell makes me rejoice more that God made me a part of it. You understand what I'm saying? But oh, I know this. The wrath of God is to be dreaded. And the fear of the Lord is commendable. The fear of the Lord. All right, secondly, so there's that fear and that awe when we think of eternal judgment and wrath and eternal hell. The second fear that I believe is commendable is the fear of falling, the fear of departing from the living God. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. And my friends, the book of Hebrews is full of warnings to believers about departing from the faith. It's just full of warnings. And I tell you, we not only have scriptural examples of people who professed faith in Christ and even preached who later departed from the faith and departed from the living God, but we have examples, living examples all about us of people who departed from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's not anything wrong with you and I having a certain fear of falling, a fear of departing from the faith, a fear of being overcome with our own sinful flesh and leaving the testimony of God. Paul warns us about that if he's the writer of Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 3, verse 6. Hebrews 3, 6, he says, Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Look at verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Take heed who? Brethren. Believers. In departing from the living God. But exhort one another, encourage one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of the subtlety, craftiness, deceitfulness of the human heart of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. Steadfast. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore what? Fear. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should come short of it. Hebrews 10. This is a note that sounded throughout this book. Now listen to me. The fear is not that God will cast me away. He's not going to cast away any in Christ. I'm not worried about God casting me away. I'm worried about leaving. You understand what I'm saying? Our Lord preached one time and fed all those people and they all left. And He turned to the disciples and said, you can go too. Will you also go away? And I pray God that this will always be my confession. To whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of life. I've seen them leave. You have too. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But thank God we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And yet, let us therefore fear. That's the promise being left us of eternal life. We should depart from it. 1 Corinthians 11. I wish you'd turn over there a minute. It's 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Listen to Paul here. I fear. I told you there's a sanctified fear. Paul said, I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity of Christ. Don't you lose that fear. Don't lose that fear. He said, if you call him Father, you pass the time of your sojourning here in what? In fear. That's right. And then the book of Jude, the little book of Jude, there's a couple of verses that I think are interesting here. Jude 21. And you who know Christ, you who believe Christ, you who know the Word of God, you know what I'm talking about this morning. It says in Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't depart. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then verse 24 says, now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling. But we're kept by the power of God through faith. So I warn, I speak warnings to myself and warnings to you as Paul did to the Hebrews over and over and over again. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Lord, keep me. Keep me. And I'll be kept. There's a fear. And then thirdly, there's the fear of sin. There's the fear of sin. Now we know that our sins are forgiven. All of our sins. I preach this so clearly, I think, and plainly and simply that it cannot be misunderstood. All of our sins are pardoned and put away and forgiven in Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Here's one of the great verses. He has separated our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Brother Danny Park said, you know why he didn't say he separated our sins as far as the north is from the south? Well, start north. And you know you'll reach north. And you'll come around, you're headed south. But you go east, you'll never reach west. You never will. You'll keep going east. I don't care how far you go and how many times you circle this world, you'll never be going west, always east. Now you can go north and you'll reach it. And then you'll start south. The Word of God is so accurate, isn't it? He separated our sins from us into infinity. In the flesh, no man can please God. So that's not the kind, that's not what I'm talking about. I just live with this nature. I know it's here. It's a conflict. It's a battle. We crucify the old flesh. We put it under and all that. But there's a fear of certain sins that is expressed by believers in the Scripture, which this is a fear that all believers have. Turn to Psalm 19. And I'm not going to catalog sin. I'm simply going to point out here one thing that David said. And David was, he knew something about this. Because David decided one time he wanted another man's wife. He's king of Israel. He's a child of God. And he decided he wanted another man's wife. And so he had that man killed so he could have her. And the prophet Nathan came to him and said, now your sins are forgiven, but the sword will never leave your house. And God's going to deal with you over that matter. That arrogancy and haughtiness and self-will when you deliberately violated your responsibility and violated your calling and brought shame and reproach on your God by your act, he said, I'm going to deal with you for it. And this is what he said in Psalm 19. Now listen, verse 13. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. That's what he's afraid of. I looked up the word presumptuous. It has two meanings. Arrogancy. I'll do what I want to do. I'll have my way, regardless of what it cost anybody else, regardless of the reproach I may bring or the sorrow I may inflict on someone else, on the cause of God and truth, on the gospel, on the church, I'm going to have my way. All right, you have it, but I guarantee you'll meet God down the road, because he's not going to permit us to get away with these arrogant. And the other word is pride. Look it up. Keep me from arrogancy. Keep me from pride. Keep me from that self-will. And I believe this, that fear of sin, fear will keep a man from this type of sin. The Scripture says in Proverbs 16:6, it says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from sin. I know, like I said a while ago, we're not perfect. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I acknowledge that myself. I know there's so many things I say and think and do that are contrary to the commandments and the will of Almighty God. It's a thing we deal with constantly. But there are those presumptuous and arrogant and self-willed and proud sins and things that we do and go our way regardless of what God says, regardless of who it hurts, regardless of who is affected, and God's going to deal with those sins now. And here's what he said to Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy 5. And we need to fear those things. You see, as believers, we have a responsibility. As fathers, we have a responsibility. As mothers, we have a responsibility to the gospel, to God, to the testimony of God, to the people about us, to our obligations. God has put us in a place. No man's an island. When we act, we've got to act with God in mind and the Word and the gospel and others. We've got to act not arrogantly and proud and haughty, but we act in keeping with His Word and His glory. And when we don't, 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin before all, them that sin rebuke before all, that others may fear.
that others may fear. And Paul the Apostle said this, I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest while preaching to others, I become a castaway. I don't want to be a castaway. I fear that. And I tell you, and I've dealt with this as clearly as I possibly can, acknowledging truth. We are with our sins apart and Christ paid for them. They're put away. I know that. And I know that there's sins constantly and daily. We're sinners, saved by the grace of God. But we've been put, every one of us, in a place, in a position, in a responsibility for the glory of God. Now, don't violate it, lest God put you on a shelf. Barnard used to say, God won't kill a man except for two reasons. Number one, he'll kill him when he's through with him. When his work's done, when his task is finished, God'll take him home. Secondly, when he gets in the way of God's glory, God kill him. When he gets in the way of God's glory, when he violates God Almighty's purpose and plan, God kill him. Take him away. All right, here's the fourth fear. Are you with me so far? These are so, aren't they? Fear of the wrath of God. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. Do you? And fear of falling. I don't want to leave the gospel. Oh, Lord, keep me, and I'll be kept. And I don't want to bring embarrassment and shame on my Redeemer. I don't want to hurt those whom I love and those to whom God has made me, for whom God has made me responsible. My life, even my death, would be worth conserving them for the glory of God. And then fourthly, fear of divine manifestation. I not only fear the wrath of God, I fear the presence of God. You listening? Did you ever stand out, I know you have, on a clear night and view the heavens, the moon and the stars and the planets and the things God has made? And did you ever consider the greatness of God, the vastness of God's universe and God's handiwork and God's wisdom? And did you ever stand out and see this great universe God has made and just shiver with fear? Just tremble with fear and say with Jacob, how dreadful is this place? This is surely the house of God. I know you have. And did you ever fly on an airplane and get up there way above the clouds and look down and there's just that fleecy, snowy blanket of clouds? Looks like you could just climb out and walk on them. We was talking about that the other day. No, you have. And just goes on and on. And did you not just tremble with fear? Did you ever stand on a seashore and watch the great ocean waves as they rolled in and cast their waves over the shore, and watched as the lightning out there over the ocean flashed, and the thunder rolled, and the dark clouds began to roll by, and fear take hold of your heart? Oh God, how great thou art. Scripture says Moses stood at that bush and trembled. He was afraid, and he hid his face. And Moses stood on the mountain. The scripture said in Hebrews 12, listen to this, I'll find it and read it to you. Hebrews 12, 21 said he stood on that mountain. And so great was the sight and so terrible that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and tremble and quake. And Solomon said the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And even the Apostle Paul, when he came to preach at Corinth, he said, I come among you with weakness and fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. He wasn't afraid of them. But he was filled with awe and reverence and amazement and respect before the manifestation of God Almighty's power. And I'll tell you this confidentially and plainly. And I close with this admonition. The Lord has blessed this church. He's blessed us here with innumerable blessings. He's clearly manifested His grace in Christ. He's made this church known all over the world. He's given us an open door to preach the gospel, missionaries to support. They're just staggering. Doesn't that make you joyful? Yes, sir. It makes me fearful. Fearful. And all of this is indeed by His grace and according to His will. For there was nothing in us and is nothing in us now to merit or deserve the least of His favors. He did it because He would. And I'll tell you, He can remove it just as quickly as He gave it. Is that right? And that doesn't make you fear. It does make. He can take the gospel out of this pulpit just as quickly as He brought it in. He can take away His presence. He can take away His blessings. He can take away His mercies just as quickly as He gave them. That's the reason David said, "O God, cast me not away from Thy presence and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me." And I tremble. I tremble at the wrath of God. But I tremble just as much in fear in the presence of God. I know when Isaiah saw the Lord, Scripture says that even the seraphims of heaven hid their faces, covered their eyes. And they cried, "Holy, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God of hosts." And I want to read you one thing in closing. In Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18. And I tell you this, I abhor and I despise and I warn you to flee from this present day familiarity with Almighty God. This buddy program and this next door neighbor familiarity, because it's not known in the Scriptures. Serve the Lord with fear. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Know ye not that the Lord God made all things? The Lord's in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before Him. When you approach the Lord, He says, let your words be few. In Genesis 18, verse 26, here's Abraham praying. Now, I want you to listen to Abraham pray. He's praying for Sodom. This is Abraham, friend of God. This is Abraham, the man with whom God spake face to face. And the Lord said, verse 26, Genesis 18, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I'll spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of five? And God said, if I find in Sodom 45 righteous men, I'll not destroy it. And Abraham spake unto him yet again. And he said, Lord, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And God said, I'll not destroy it for the sake of 40. And Abraham said again unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I'll not do it if I find 30. And Abraham said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. Notice the awe, the fear, the reverence. And God said, I'll not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but one more time. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And God said, I'll not destroy it for 10's sake. What I'm pointing out there is here's this man of communion and pattern of faith. And yet there's not this, I command thee. I command thee. I hear these preachers commanding God to do things and claiming, I claim this. Abraham didn't claim anything. And Moses didn't either. He kept saying, now if I found grace in your sight, show me your way. If I found grace in your sight, go with us. If I found grace in your sight, show me your glory. Here's Abraham kept apologizing for praying. He kept saying, oh, let me just speak one more time. And don't be angry now, Lord. Don't be angry. Because I'm just dust and ashes and you're God. So, I believe this is sanctified fear of the wrath of God. Fear of falling. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Fear of sin. And an actual awe and reverence and fear, a holy fear. Be still and know that I'm God. A holy fear. Even when we use His most holy name. When we come to worship. I was preached in two churches last Sunday. Last Sunday morning, I preached in Faith Baptist Church on Tortola. And there is Brother Danny Parks, his pastor. And there they sing hymns and worship God and pray and preach. These dear black people love the gospel. I rejoice, the Spirit of God was there. I went that night to a place, and I walked in and sat down, and they started. They started carrying on all that emotionalism and commotion and whoop-de-doo. You call it culture if you want to, but it's an unawareness of the holiness of God. And all the tambourines and the carrying on, and they did that for an hour and 15 minutes. I sat there in total misery. And the third thought was going through my heart, Spirit of God's not here. How am I going to preach? Spirit of God's not here. There's no reverence. There's no fear. There's no awe. There's no solemnity. Spirit, you were over there. It wasn't quite that bad Sunday morning. But Sunday night, they opened up the stops. It was the evangelistic hour. And I was just that far from going home. But I sat there and I thought, no, you can't do this now. You're a guest. You're on an island. You're a stranger. You're a white man. A whole lot of reason why you can't do this. Danny Parks has got to stay here and you'll be leaving. So you just going to have to endure it. And for an hour and 15 minutes, I sat there and endured another spirit. I want the Spirit of God in this place, don't you? But at the same time, I fear the manifestation of His presence. I never want to lose that fear at all at the presence of God. All right, I hope that's been helpful. I've wanted it to be, and